to deserve this?
Yes.
What? Tonight I'm choosing a pod. What did I do to deserve this?
Oh, yes. Tell us about your victimhood, cis white people.
There was this time that I bought a mocha latte, and they didn't put enough mocha in it.
That is unfortunate.
And you spelled my name wrong. And I mean, how else do you spell Amber? What was their problem?
Did they try to use a Y?
Yeah.
And then there was this other time where a store in her town was having early pumpkin spice, but she didn't get in time, and they ran out of pumpkin spice, and she complained to the manager, but they only had to fire, like, one person, and she wanted, like, more people fired.
Unacceptable.
That happened to me.
Unacceptable.
You didn't fire people?
Pumpkin spice.
Aww.
And I made a
fuss. You made a fuss over pumpkin spice?
That was back when I liked pumpkin spice.
Are you white enough for that?
I don't like it anymore.
I don't know if that makes up for your past sins, though.
I don't think you're rich enough for that.
I didn't get anybody fired.
Aww.
You thought about it, though.
You wished they could be fired.
I was like, what did I do?
Okay, so let's introduce ourselves.
Tom Quackenbush, fantasy author.
Amber Hawk, artist, farmer, garden maintenance worker.
Me, I'm here also.
Daniel,
I do things.
Secular cultist until we come up with a better title for him.
Right. Daniels.
Fine, Daniel, secular cultist until we come up with a better label for you.
Right. Well, you know.
Not labels, Tom.
But we can label people.
I want to be the herald of the void.
Okay.
Fine. Daniel. All you had to do was ask Daniel, and he could have been the herald of the void.
Daniel Evans, herald of the void.
No, I don't. Yeah.
void.
I think you have to disown like human names before you can add on that particular title. But
fine.
You know, working on it.
It's Raphael Sandalphon.
Yeah, what?
A blonde hair.
What do you want? And a guest.
And a guest. Who is our guest? Our frequent guest?
I'm Christina.
Christina! You know, we had a show recently and we mentioned you, and the guest we had is like, who is Christina? And so then we had to explain how you're our audience, basically.
It's true.
Mm. Do you don't even listen to this, do you?
I'm a step below guest. Something between audience and guest.
Pest?
crew? Staff?
Staff? Crew? Roadie?
Groupie? Yes.
Groupie?
Are you our groupie?
Are you
going to be feeling a few things.
Are you a conversation fluffer?
What's a conversation fluffer?
It's like a regular fluffer, except she doesn't touch her penises.
Oh, right. That's what a fluffer is.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I just agreed.
I was thinking about fan
without
fiction.
Thinking about it.
That's what you do, Christina. That's what you did to deserve this.
Yes.
No, I won't accept that.
She's grown a backbone.
Defiance.
You're no longer an annelid.
Aww. But she
just
wants to be
an
annelid.
Just because I party with annelids doesn't make me one.
She wants to be one, though.
So, I'm going to start bringing up pop culture topics unless you guys say something.
Amber is about to talk about fan fiction.
Amber, talk to us about fan fiction.
I don't know much. I just know that. Well, I know about fan fiction, but like fluff is just a genre of fan fiction.
Like,
which is different than being a fluffer.
Yeah. Yes. Although there's still the implication that fluff and fluffing are things done by, like, you know, filler unimportant elements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think it's mostly just a romantic happy sort of fan fiction.
Yeah, so it's fluff in the sense that it has no substance. It's just
sweet.
It's just popcorn and
there's
fairy cakes.
Ooh.
That's because Hannibal's adorable.
Hey, there's cuddling and
I really
want
to see what this is all about.
I'm sure there are. I'm sure there
internally
is.
Internally sometimes.
Internal cuddling?
Yeah. When that guy was like making the guy's heart beat.
Oh, yeah. Internal cuddling.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Christina has not seen Hannibal, so she won't get it.
You should see Hannibal if you haven't yet. And then
listeners, really, honestly, watch Hannibal.
Seriously.
Basically,
save the show! We want a season 4!
Amber could be very convincing.
I bet.
So now I'm going to
watch
it.
If you make a season 4 of Hannibal, I will do something.
Tom, have you signed off on this?
She hasn't even signed off on the something.
All right, because it sounds like there's.
I don't know. What should I? Listeners, tell me what I should do if there's a season 4 of Hannibal.
Yes.
Shoe on head.
What?
Keyboard on head.
What?
Is this
a meme? I don't know.
So, yes, see, if you're on the internet and like a girl is posting pictures of herself, you'd ask her to post something that would be absurd so that you can verify if she's actually doing it right then.
Oh.
So shoe on head would be a popular one, as would be keyboard on head.
But if it's popular, then wouldn't you have it already?
So eventually, like now it's you have to include like a timestamp or something, you know, with your character.
Mm-hmm.
Your persona on it.
I once ran into some girl and she had written, like, I think I spoke to her on Omegle or something, and on her Instagram she had like a little sign that said like Tom Quackenbush spoke to me. I'm like, sweet girl, do you think anyone cares about me? No one cares about me. She was Asian, so maybe I'm big in Japan or something.
That happens. You might just have this massive following that doesn't know how to get in touch with you.
Or maybe she just does that literally for everyone who talks to her.
Maybe.
Yeah, could be.
Like, literally, like, she sits in school and she writes herself notes.
Or it's just that's what you do in her culture when you meet somebody that's you know,
yeah,
important to you.
I do that with food.
Mm-hmm.
Do you hold up food?
No, I just like to, you know, make a big deal out of...
So should one eat octopuses?
I mean, they only live 2 years. Like they're highly individualistic, so they're never going to, like, produce culture.
But they're as intelligent as a toddler, Daniel. Would you eat a toddler?
I would definitely eat a toddler if they were delicious and they only lived a year.
That's true.
If you eat them, they're only going to live a year.
Well, true.
So I think what we've decided is that we're going to start eating toddlers. Probably ugly toddlers, though. It'll be like our eugenics via consumption.
To be fair, we do eat toddlers, just we don't usually eat human toddlers.
Yeah.
Usually.
We definitely eat animals before their prime of life. No, any animal. Like, from the bit I've read, like, lamb and, like, veal gets a bad rap for being so young. But I don't know much about veal, I'll say that. But like lamb, it's like still 6 months.
Yeah, there's definitely
and
like
pigs are about that long before they get slaughtered too.
Yeah, there's like a prime age. You don't really let them grow too long.
The same as with like chickens, it's only like a few months. Like most animals that are raised for meat don't live that long. Like a lot of I don't know much about veal. I assume it's younger than regular beef.
The actual beef with veal, lol, because it's cows. It has to do with like the conditions that veal is raised in, because it's crated in such a way that it's not really allowed to walk around. Like it cannot. It's sort of forced to either sit or stand, because the idea is it's supposed to be super tender. So it kind of fits into a similar category as pâté, which you get from force feeding a goose, apricots until it dies.
Isn't that foie gras?
Oh, foie gras. Yeah, sorry. Which is used in pâté a lot, but you're right. Foie gras. Although apparently there are ways to like make it naturally without force feeding your goose, but you know, it's like two guys doing that.
Huh.
So that's actually the big issue with veal is.
I can see that, but at the same time, like, the entire meat industry is horrible.
Oh, yeah, no question.
Unless you're buying it, like, locally from someone you know.
That's true.
Right. It's like arguing whether, you know, the Holocaust was worse for gypsies or Jews. Mm-hmm. You know, it's pretty equally terrible.
Exactly.
For everyone involved.
But, and rabbits get killed pretty young, too.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But they make new rabbits, so...
Again, they don't live very long.
True.
Yeah.
But it is also worth noting that, like, most meat animals have been so heavily selectively bred that they generally would die anyways.
Mm.
Like turkeys, for instance. Like, their muscle mass grows in such weird proportions that, you know, they cannot walk beyond a certain age because they're just so, the breasts are so heavy that they...
And if you're going to raise them yourself, especially if you're on a breeding flock, it's apparently almost impossible to find out how to naturally breed turkeys based on one book I was reading. And, like, you can get heritage breeds that taste better, supposedly, and those would be more likely to survive longer.
Yeah. Well, again, probably the closer they are to wild, you know, the more likely. But yeah, like, we've intervened for so long.
Or not necessarily the closest wild, but the closest to, like, having specific traits selected for that aren't just fat, weight.
Right.
Like, prettiness or whatever. Taste is a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about taste, like, for milk, like, Jersey cow milk, like the black and whites, is what you think of. But it has a super low milk fat content.
Right.
It's basically the water version of milk.
Yeah. But you don't know that because you never have access to the other.
Yeah, unless you get... you're lucky. I think they're Jerseys. No, Holsteins are the black and white. Jerseys are the other kind.
I say right to both as though I knew.
Amber. Right, Amber, we really defer to your knowledge here. So you can ask us questions, but we're just going to affirm what you said is true.
Tell us all about them cow titties.
It's important that they're well attached. And if you're a goat, you don't want it to drag on the ground.
Right.
I don't think anyone wants her titties to drag on the ground.
I know, right? But if you're a goat, it apparently happens sometimes. You can get a pendulous udder.
Yeah.
Wow. I've known people like that.
It's true. Old men suffer a similar fate. It's just, you know, not their breasts.
They could be.
I once read an epic thread. I think it was on FARC, where a gentleman was sitting on a slatted wooden chair, and he relaxed a bit, and his testicles went through the wooden slats.
Mm-hmm.
And so, rather than getting help, he wrote on this FARC thread, being like, "Seriously, my balls are stuck in the chair. What do I do? I can't get out.
Internet, please help."
And yeah, they talked him through. I think basically, like, just relax.
Yeah.
And they should be able to.
That would be the only. It would be one of those awful cases where the only option would be relaxing and not panicking and going.
Or calling your friend with
slow.
A saw.
Or calling your friend with a saw to publicly, like, you know, extract your balls.
I trust you to publicly extract my balls, Christina.
It's very lovely.
I mean, I don't know if that trust is well placed.
I just see that as an argument against shorts.
Oh, so you would just take a video and post it on YouTube, is what you're saying?
No, I would protect your balls. I would.
Thank you.
On a related note, I knew a girl in college, and she had a male pet rat. And his testicles had become jammed, like, between the slats of his cage. And so she spent a good hour and a half, like, greasing up his testicles and trying, just slowly pushing it through. And I came over, and I looked at her, I said, "Why didn't you just break one of the bars in the cage?" And she looked at me as though I were a genius. And I'm like, "You didn't think of just breaking one of the bars off?" Like, it was the first thing I thought, but I was a man looking like, "No, I don't want anyone trying to shove my testicles through anything."
It doesn't help that rodents tend to have, like, comically gigantic testicles in proportion to the rest of their body.
You understand tanukis after seeing a rat's balls.
Oh, yeah. No, that is not a mystery. It's also why I couldn't handle having male rats.
No.
I am sexist against male rodents.
And
racist against terriers.
Oh yeah, they suck.
Why?
They're awful.
Yeah.
Terriers?
Yes.
Which ones are terriers?
They're the Muslims. Oh, terriers. I'm sorry.
I think
I think we all just learned an important, like, thing about Tom. Mm-hmm.
Joking,
I think he
audience.
Was joking.
Yes. Oh.
Was I joking?
See,
those terriers are always leaving bombs on my lawn, so...
You know, they say they're just making clocks, but really...
Yeah, can that be a meme now?
It already is. Somebody, there was a great post of somebody who was like he should go back to school all like, and then had pictures of, like, what is it, Flava Flav?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know.
I like that. I saw one. It was a picture of, I guess, Steve Jobs back in the day. And it's like, some Syrian-looking guy is making clocks in his garage. He should be arrested. Yeah, that kid's gonna do very well for himself now.
Hopefully.
I saw a clickbait headline from CNN. It's like, will this situation affect the boy?
And inside it's like, yes, because NASA wants him now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you are trying to say that you weren't implying that he can't, like, do anything in his life now, rather than the president wants him to visit.
Yeah. How dare you.
To catch you up, audience, a kid got arrested for building a clock.
Yeah, he brought it in for show and tell. I guess he showed his teacher, who told him immediately, like, oh shit, you better hide that and don't show anyone.
But that's very cool.
Can someone explain this to me?
Yeah, and then
that's basically the story.
Oh yeah, so it's a Muslim.
What exactly?
It's a Muslim kid. Oh. He built a clock himself and like brought it to school in a box, and he was going to show it at show and tell. I didn't actually see anything saying why he brought it in.
I think he just wanted, like, he's close with one of his teachers, and he wanted to be like, I invent things. I invented this clock and a pencil case. Isn't that cool?
That's really
and
horrible. Then,
well, yeah, because what happened, of course, is someone else on staff got wind of it and, of course, called the cops. And then apparently, like, as soon as he entered the room, one of the cops was like, oh yeah, I thought it was that one, like, without any sort of...
And listeners, I don't want to like prejudge people, but that boy's a geek. Like, you look at him and terrorists should not be what's in it'd be like, so can you DM for us? Like,
yeah.
Did they get in trouble for doing that?
Not so far.
Not yet. He's. I mean, hopefully, he and his family consider pressing charges for this. Also, the protocol they used in kind of conducting or handling the case, I'm using air quotes, very likely violated his rights.
Wow. Yeah, here's my question.
So he didn't let
if you think it's a real bomb, then shouldn't you have evacuated the school? You didn't do that. So you just wanted to have this boy arrested.
Oh, pretty much. And then the school afterwards, like, sent out this sort of, like, press release to the rest of the parents being like, we just want you all to know that, like, nothing happened today, but if it did, we would do this and also, you know... It's very important that we pretend that we're taking care of... I don't know, it's kind of...
Yeah, that is the feeling I got. Like, there are certain things you can't bring to school, apparently, like clocks.
Well, at least not if you have brown skin.
They really thought it was a bomb. Like, they really didn't even, though. Like,
no, they didn't.
It was just a good excuse to, like, you know, punish a poor brown kid for, you know...
Again, I don't want to be prejudiced, but it was Texas, wasn't it?
It was Texas, and apparently his family, like, moved there to avoid, you know, political and religious persecution wherever they were apples? Living previously.
Yes, those are apples.
The Muhammad family, maybe Texas wasn't the place for you.
No, well, but they probably, I mean, I don't know, maybe they're
better than whatever country.
Yeah, that's
right,
true.
Right.
Maybe America wasn't the right country if you want understanding and sympathy and caring, because we suck.
Even though I'm sure that's what you heard about in whatever country you were in.
Yeah, well, but it is true that you're slightly less likely to be just, you know, shot in the street here than in some places. But
depends what street you're on.
Depends what street you're on, depends what color your skin is, but yeah. It's slightly less likely.
Mm-hmm. His move.
No. I think
what do you
easy.
Think about traveling?
What do you mean?
Like one of the main reasons people should travel, supposedly, is to open up their horizons to areas, other cultures and things. I've never left the country, so I don't know specifically.
I haven't either. It makes you feel any better.
Okay. I would like to say that recently I was told a story. It was on a podcast. And it boiled down to a rich white girl's like, you know, wherever the travel advisory says I shouldn't go, that's where I want to go. Oh no, I got stuck in a war zone. These minorities are crazy. Wow. And I'm like, there's a reason there's a travel advisory for your lily white ass. That's it. Okay. Like, and her guide is like, no, there wasn't any real problem. The war was 30 miles away from you. I didn't take you anywhere dangerous. Yeah. But it really boiled down to, these minorities, what are they doing? Having wars and whatnot. And having guns.
Wow.
Well, it turns out, like, travel is another one of those things that is incredibly good for you, but is also incredibly difficult to gain access to unless you're, you know, part of the upper class.
Yes.
In which case, you're also way more likely to be, you know, inherently shielded from anything unpleasant
by
virtue of being able to travel.
Her story ended because then she saw, she got an emergency ticket. Like, she just went to an airport and said, I want a ticket. I want a ticket to Bangkok now. I want to go. And she got a ticket right there on the spot. And I'm like, that is so expensive.
Yeah.
But she did, like, in the story, she clearly doesn't even flinch at that idea.
Wow.
No, but there is likely, you know, I'm sure the embassy has a fund set up with all of the local travel advisors. So,
yeah, but, like, the travel advisory is, you don't go in. She went in, and then she's like,
right.
Why did this happen to me?
Oh, and our guide's like, nah, there was no problem.
There was no problem. He's like, no, I didn't take you anywhere dangerous. Like, he showed her on a map, it's like, the war was 30 miles away. You were fine here. I took you on safe trails.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that show Locked Up Abroad, where they commit crimes while traveling.
They do?
They get talked into smuggling drugs to other countries.
Oh, wow.
And they're like, oh no, I didn't realize that the repercussions of doing this in this country are a lot worse than in America, and they get sent to a prison where they could be killed. And they're like, somebody help me, all I did was smuggle in some marijuana. But the law there is a lot stricter, so...
Yeah. And that is just the general misfortune that, you know, you don't have to be educated about the culture you're going to.
Well, yeah, most of them were just like, on a whim. They're like, you want to make some money? You're in college, you want to have fun? Okay, make some money right now, do this. And they do it.
I definitely know people who would have fallen for that.
That's what the whole show is about. Every episode.
When I do think that travel is great, like, I very much appreciate the limited travel I've done. Like, I gone to Las Vegas, we went to California, I went up, I camped around Canada for 2 weeks early in college with a girlfriend's parents, road tripping, which was an experience alone, you know, being with your girlfriend's parents road tripping. They tried to make me sleep in a tent outside in Canada.
Rather than where?
Like, well, they had a camper. But I was...
But they're gonna kick you out of the camper?
And they often did. I had my own tent.
That's so weird.
Well, they didn't want me molesting their daughter.
Yeah. Which, I understand that, but then, like, I don't know... give you a better tent or get a better camper.
Or maybe have, like, you know, been comfortable enough to bring you along before bringing you along.
Yeah, that's true.
Though they did say afterward, at least some others, like, I like you so much more now. And I'm like, oh, I'm glad. She's like, yeah, I feel like we bonded on this trip. You like, know, I've definitely gone on some wacky misadventures, and I don't regret any of those. Though at the time, I'm like, why am I in Las Vegas? I don't want to whore. I don't gamble. I don't do drugs. I almost got mugged to death. It's a fun story, actually. So, we were coming back. She got her belly button pierced. And, like, there was... really, you want to stick with, like, the islands of light. And there's bright, bright light. So, we were in a little, like, path of darkness. And these two guys approached me. I feel strung out. They were not completely sober. And they're like, oh, do you have some money for us? And I felt immediately threatened. And she was a second Dan black belt at the time. But she also had a torn ACL, so... And I felt very threatened, and I could tell that I was about to get horribly mugged. And then they looked at me, and I had, like, long hair. They're like, heavy metal, man! Heavy metal! Yeah! And they pretty much just let us go.
Wow.
Yeah. But I was very... like, it was so close. Like, it was not me imagining it. It's like, oh, God... I'm about to get, like, mugged hard.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm glad you didn't get mugged hard.
It would have sucked.
Yeah.
Because these guys could have hurt me. Mm-hmm. And I did not really have much money to give them.
Yeah.
But yeah. Travel's a good thing, guys.
As long as so you don't get hair. Mugged.
So is hair.
As long as you can afford it.
Yeah. As long as you... Hooray and I don't know how I afforded that.
Hair high five.
What?
Amber.
Hair high five. I definitely, when I was younger, like,
see what was going
I'm not
on
sure
there.
If I ever applied to one of them, but we went to, like, there's the student ambassador program thing where they send you to other countries to be an ambassador for the kid, basically. And I always, like, went to the meetings for it, but I don't think I ever even got close to maybe even applying for them. I don't know. But that's could be a cool experience.
Yeah. I remember in high school, like, the drama teacher would take some kids on international trips.
Wow.
Like, it was clearly the rich parents, and she found some way to, like, get a free ticket.
Yeah.
And I know at one point, she went to somewhere in Mexico, and all the little drama girls, the rich drama girls, got very drunk, and one of them fell out of a second-story window.
Ooh.
Like, I think broke the glass, and was okay. And I'm like, how did nothing happen? And how nothing happened is money.
Yeah.
Like, enough money passed enough hands that no one really cared about a drunk 15-year-old falling out of a window.
No. Well, it was in Mexico, so,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, probably happens every day.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, I almost went, one thing with the student ambassador thing, like, I remember part of the reason I didn't go is because I was like, oh, I don't necessarily want to go to that country, I want to go to this country, and, like, it's only, like, a country per year or something. And so I kind of wish I had just, you know, tried it regardless of the country,
yeah.
You know? Yeah. Oh.
This is not a story that directly happened to me, but I knew a girl, again in college, and she talked her longtime boyfriend into coming for a semester abroad with her in England.
Mm.
And on the plane on the way over, she said, listen, I want to have a lot of sex, not with you.
Hmm.
So what I'm breaking up with you and you're stuck with a semester abroad and I'm going to have sex with a lot of people who aren't you. Now, from what I'm remembering, he was the much more attractive of the two. So that may not have ended up in her favor, but that's what she wanted to do.
Wow.
Because sex semester abroad doesn't count or something. But, I mean, that is part of the experience, is, you know, getting some strange, I guess.
I guess. I don't know. I've never left the country, so.
I'm sure that anybody that left the country just couldn't help themselves.
No, it's,
right?
It's difficult.
You just have to.
And I have heard,
just
like, if you are an American woman in most, like, European-ish countries, they, I guess the locals assume you'll just put out.
Wow.
Like, especially Italy, yeah. I guess they will, like, be like, ah, Bella, come over here, come on, some wine, come over, take your clothes off.
I'd be
but
like, no.
Charming. Apparently
I'll take your wine, though, thank you.
Ah, no, it's already, it was drug, now you've had sex with three Italian men.
Don't drink
It was like
wine.
A choose your own adventure, you chose
drink
poorly.
Wine.
I'll drink my own wine.
There you go.
Or I'll have them open the bottle in front of me. Can you? I guess you could technically poison an open bottle of wine.
Really, that's if in that situation you do not want to engage if you're uncertain in any way, shape, or form, because you know.
Yeah, social contract. They're abusing it. And it'll be abusing.
Though, to be fair, if it's just, like, street catcalling, like, we get that in this country, too.
But there are different... The culture matters a lot. Like,
okay.
Like, apparently... Because actually Dawn was kind of telling me some stories when she was in... Oh, God, where was she?
France? I could guess the Netherlands.
Yeah, I was going to say... I wanted to say Denmark, but... shoot, we'll have to ask her on to maybe,
yeah,
you know,
Dawn would be a
that.
Great guest for this.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, she remember her telling me she was in this, you know, European city and basically, like, had to spend a good, you know, 2 or 3 hours trying to get away from some friendly guys that, you know, just, they got her drunk and then wouldn't leave her alone. And,
wow.
You know, the cops wouldn't help her because they were just like, oh, you got yourself into this situation, so.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know. But, yeah, so it's, which is just illustrates the whole, like, it sucks to be a woman anywhere.
Absolutely true.
Yeah.
Kind of issue.
Our friend Melanie, who we've mentioned a few times on this podcast, I think she was in Spain or Morocco. Anyway, she was dancing at a club with some friends, and these guys surrounded her. And she decided that in lieu of dancing, she'd just sort of flail at them and try to punch them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they backed off. And she's like, because if I didn't do that, they were going to be molesting me. So she just went on the offensive. She decided to mosh, I guess.
Yeah. Without that sounds like a good idea.
It is, honestly.
That was smart.
Yeah. I've heard other travel stories of people. I had an ex who, even Scotland, like, she got a little drunk. And this guy just, like, pushed her up against the wall and tried to shove his hand down her pants. Not like a, hey, how are you? This is my name. It's like, you're a little inebriated and you're American? Finger banging.
Wow.
Yeah. I think travel is valuable. But that is definitely the case that there's a lot to be careful of and you get a big target on you. Like, whereas here, there's some street cat calling, but you know the culture and you have a support system. You know, yeah. If you're backpacking across Europe, maybe you don't have that.
You bring up a good point.
And I don't want to bring up
traveling for me.
I don't want to ruin traveling, international travel especially. That's for rich people now. At some point, like not that long ago, you could be middle class and then like spend your summer backpacking across Europe.
You kind of can now, but it's still, yeah, like not having, since very few people have, you know, middle class resources anymore, it goes into the same category of like it used to be possible to have a part-time job and buy a house or
that's
support
true.
A family or at least, well, not buy a house, but like a full-time job would let you buy a house, part-time job would let you pay for an education so you could get a full-time job.
Yeah.
No, I do think in general, like, the travel problem needs to be solved much in the same way that, like, you know, we have the internet, which allows us to communicate across great distances, but we do not have a physical, we don't have like a physical equivalent to that to allow people to travel and actually interact, you know, across great distances without, you know, great trouble. It's probably the next sort of large social link necessary to actually, like, you know, allow us to function as a global, you know, culture rather
than.
You
could do it sort of with MMO RPGs.
I want to backpass across Europe. I don't want to do it against Azeroth.
No, but, you know, the Hyperloop is a really good contender for like a model for that. Even just allowing you to cross, you know, the oceans much faster. But it is also like the reason for borders has a lot less to do with, you know, with travel
He's
restrictions and a lot more to do with controlling Earth. Populations. Yeah.
Would like the Hyperloop or whatever be affordable? Like, I don't know.
That's
anything
the
about
point
it.
Of it, isn't it?
Yeah, like, because really, yes, unless it were artificially, you know,
true, which it probably would.
The infrastructure would probably be really expensive, which is probably why you'd actually want governments to build it, kind of like they do every other massive infrastructure project. But yeah, the entire idea is that it would provide way cheaper travel and you know, in bulk at much faster speeds than, you know, flying on a jet.
Mm-hmm.
Plus,
is it
presumably
more environmentally sound?
It should be, because it's not like the idea is it's pneumatic tubes, so it depend on, you know, whatever the power stations were that provided, you know, maintaining the vacuum and all of that. But I guarantee they would be less than flying planes, given that, you know, on the day after September 11th, when they grounded all the flights in the country, you know, we had the clearest skies ever for, you know, like decades.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I do imagine it would be a pretty big impact, and there are other, you know, other options, but it's one of those that, you know, is very close, hopefully, to being functional. I know the group that's actually trying to do the test loop, I believe out in Texas, also is looking for the second round of investment funding. So
travel is good, but it's too expensive in general.
And it's dangerous because they fill our heads with the idea that we're going to be raped and murdered.
Yeah.
Wait, it's dangerous because they tell us that?
Well, I don't know how realistic my fears are about international travel.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's always a mix of, you know, it does really depend on where you're going and what the environment is. But
and it's good to go in groups.
It is generally safer, yes. Although, like, I know, you know, we actually
know several
people. You
might have trouble from the people in your group, too.
You're just as likely, yeah. I know a lot of, like, you know, Greenpeace has a lot of trouble with sexual assault, and very often it's other people in, you know, in the group. Yeah. Or sometimes, you know, local workers with it, or a combination of the two. But those kind of get more at like the base problems that all cultures have with, you know, women's rights and things like that.
True.
But you know, also it's always way easier to mistreat foreigners than it is, you know, your neighbors.
True.
Because they're aliens and whatnot.
They'll probably leave and then you don't have to see them again.
It's true.
Also true.
Okay. So, next topic. Nap time. Is that a topic?
That is not a topic.
It could be. Children get nap time. Why don't we get nap time? Shouldn't there be, like, nap time
because
at work?
Because we are capitalists.
Oh. You'd still have a work nap time. Like, 10 minutes.
Be
more productive.
Well, you know, Spain's having its own issues, but they, you know, they've always had siesta, and it, you know, they're doing just fine. It's another one of those things I should have looked up. Switzerland, I believe, has been conducting an experiment with a 6-hour workday, and they are finding across the board that productivity is significantly increased.
Good,
which, you know, makes sense given that most people's full day workday includes a lot of, you know, screwing around and not actually working because we're human beings and not robots.
That's one thing I don't like is, like, I don't know, jobs that are like busy work. Like, I like working when I'm at work.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Doing something productive.
Yeah.
Which, again, you know, it'd be fine if it weren't that, you know, you have to maybe work extra shitty hours doing nothing just because you need to make money.
Like
with
when
those
I
hours.
Work security, like you pretty much are doing nothing all day.
Yeah,
you're pretty much there.
Which is good, but I did it for a while, like a few years. And I definitely would have rather not be doing that. Although I did, and I got in trouble for hanging out with people too much because I wanted to do something.
And you would think that as security, knowing the community would be a good thing. But
especially
no.
Since I was hanging out with the RAs.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's that damn capitalism ruining
capitalism.
Everything you've done.
Yeah. Capitalism.
Yeah, there's a... Bumbershoot, I think, is like another one of those large sort of Burning Man style, you know, community driven events that I believe it's in the Seattle area, and it originally was like entirely a community driven thing, and now of course it's like this multi-billion-dollar corporate thing. And
speaking of
Burning Man.
Apparently the Burning Man Corporation is suing Quiznos. Because Quiznos made a commercial short movie sort of thing, making fun of Burning Man by name.
That's
hilarious.
Like,
how dare you? How dare you say we're just a soulless corporation? Our soulless corporation will sue you.
with the lawyers that we have in our department. Yeah. Burning Man's also like been working very closely with like the FBI and then CIA.
Wow.
They're a testing ground for a lot of surveillance equipment now.
Wow.
And also, like, a lot of their operatives are just going there to, you know, hang out and...
relax.
Yeah, by which, you know, they, of course, mean having sex with you know, people doing their own thing there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because that's legal. You can do that when you infiltrate a group and...
Have sex with them.
Yes.
Yeah, actually.
Have kids.
No, seriously. There's
it's fine.
I don't know the details, but there was some woman who was trying to... No, actually, I think it was a father who was trying to sue because he impregnated, like, an operative, and he's like, I want to see the kid. She's like, no, she's having sex with you to maintain my cover. You don't get to see the boy.
Yeah, and I know the opposite. There's definitely a case. I remember the story came out around the time Occupy was active, but I don't know if it was directly related to Occupy. But it was another one of those cases of, you know, an operative in deep cover having kids with somebody and then able to just like fuck off and disappear when their assignment is done. And,
wow.
You know, yeah, and it's
what
it's
would suck,
legal.
Especially is if they had, you know, another family too at home.
They might.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
you know,
that's
what you do.
Security and all that.
So travel is good. The meat industry sucks. What are your feelings? You've sort of been keeping up on the whole fake meat thing. bio.
We're not getting very far with it. It's still like $1,000 a pound.
No. They got it down to 80.
Oh, $80 a pound. Still too much.
Well,
we're making progress.
Too much, but it was like, that's a massive decrease from when it was like several.
I've also heard like the, let's say the $80 one, still doesn't taste good. It doesn't taste right.
No.
It doesn't have the right mouthfeel. And until you do that.
But again, like it's still a matter of when. You know.
I mean, I do, like, it's destroying our planet. And I do not want to eat insects. So we've got to make fake meat work.
Or just eat less meat.
Yeah.
And stop feeding our meat human food.
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah, the eating less meat would be a big deal. Or you know, with the insect thing, like that would just be another, even though it's probably better, it would still just be like a Band-Aid solution, similar to like, you know, oh, let's just move to hydrogen instead of gas, even though it has a lot of the same problems, because we're still extracting shit from the ground and burning it. And
it depends on the insects. I don't know.
Well, insects are way more efficient, and really, you wouldn't have to worry about, you know, Tom or I. It'd just be convincing kids to eat it, which would be super easy.
Well, Tom couldn't eat it because he'd probably be allergic.
It's true.
Maybe. Yeah. Depending on the species.
I would die.
So I imagine there'd be some of the similar shrimp issues. But I mean, still, like the idea of, you know,
can we eat
our
worms?
Generation might think it's gross. But,
okay.
Yeah.
They're my friends.
Mealworms.
Mealworms.
Okay, you could eat them. I don't
know.
You could share them with your iguana.
They're protein high, right?
Well, I feel like the undercurrent of all of our topics are basically like wealth inequality. Because rich people are never going to eat insects, and rich people are able to go to Australia and backpack, and rich people go to Burning Man, and poor people can't anymore because you can't take the time off work and you can't afford a ticket to Burning Man.
Yeah.
Rich people would eat insects if you got the right cook to serve it.
That's true. You just need to, because that's the thing with like the moderate, or you know, the average rich person. Like if they're living a rich lifestyle, you know, or the lifestyle of the wealthy, you really could, you know, get pig shit and put a designer brand name on it and convince a significant portion of that population to buy it. As long as it's designer and exclusive.
Or feed them human flesh.
Yeah, well, I'm you know.
Sounds like a plan.
Speaking of Hannibal.
Yeah, as I said, that's one of those things that's almost like I'm sure that's, you know, occurred before, even though it's still.
Wasn't there a German guy or something that got someone else and they on Craigslist or something and they ate his penis together?
Yeah, Rammstein's song Mein Teil is about that, actually. Which is why Till Lindemann chases Flake around with a butcher knife.
So I think this is from like the appendix to Last Chance to See by Douglas Adams. But there was some dinner to try to save the Yangtze River dolphin. And at this, they served a Yangtze River dolphin.
It's like that black rhino that guy spent money to
kill. Yes.
And now they're extinct or something. I don't know.
Yes. I believe the northern black rhino is extinct.
Because of that one guy.
We're just not really good at keeping things alive. Although, to hear some Republican talking heads, you know, extinctions are totally fine, there's nothing weird with all the extinctions going on right now.
Well, no, because Jesus is going to come back and destroy the earth anyways to make a new one, so it doesn't matter.
Who cares about extinction events?
Yeah, it's fine. Just accept him into your heart.
We're not an animal.
It doesn't matter.
We have had some successes, though. At least. Like, bald eagles are to the point of being a pest in Alaska.
Yeah, in some areas, really? Wolves have made enough of a comeback. And
wolves have?
Yes.
In some areas, yes.
That's such a good thing.
But then almost immediately, when they take them off, then you have drives to shoot them again.
Oh. I like wolves.
Good.
Oh, no, I ruined it.
Apparently, like all of the all of the wolf pack, like alpha beta bullshit, it's all apparently bullshit. It's kind of one of those like lemming myths sort of things. Mm-hmm. Like the idea came from a researcher who happened to be widely published.
What's their social structure like then?
It's I guess the idea is like it's more fluid, and there isn't necessarily like the breeding pair isn't necessarily the leadership pair. Mm-hmm. They just like that's their function. Yeah, and like the beta and the omega like are, you know, those are positions that can shift over time.
Okay.
And they're not necessarily like a strict hierarchy.
Okay.
I didn't know that.
That's cool.
Yeah. Thought it was kind of interesting.
My whole everything is shattered. My whole concept of wolves.
Well, it is unfortunate because that is one of those ideas that like goes into a lot of, you know, like this is how to be a successful person. You gotta be an alpha. You
gotta be a lone wolf.
Even though the
lone wolf dies.
And, you know. Yeah, and the alpha
whippings will continue until morale improves.
It's true. Also, the performance of the department will keep increasing, even if you keep firing people and not replacing them.
Mm-hmm.
That's just science.
Yeah, just keep doing. Apparently, so someone I was working with is talking about this, that McDonald's, their registers are very intelligent. Like, it's a very interesting model of efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, once they, like, sell a certain number of patties, like, when you sell a hamburger or whatever, you put in, like, one patty, and the machine knows when it's sold enough patties that it needs to order more patties, and it orders patties on its own.
Yeah.
And it also keeps track of your staffing in such a way that, I guess, like, there's this optimum percentage that you're supposed to have 16% is of your sales is supposed to be just for workers, which seems super low to me, but like, so if you're having more sales than the amount of workers you have, it's like, oh, you have to hire someone. And if you have like too few sales for the number of people you have on staff, oh, you have to fire someone.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
weird.
Well, like horrible as a system model. Though, like,
yeah.
If it weren't evil,
it'd be interesting.
Right. Or if it were applied to something other than, you know, staffing a fast food joint, like
yeah.
Because, I mean, that's essentially the idea behind smart grids is, you know, they're supposed to be monitoring actual usage and allocating resources.
Oh, cool.
You know, based on need rather than, you know, arbitrary metrics.
Mm.
But, you know.
I wonder where they got the 16% from. That seems really weird.
Maybe a bigger register told them that.
Complicated.
Maybe.
It's true. Skynet.
So,
it's Google's fault.
Clearly. Internal life. Do you have an internal landscape? A mind
palace?
What
do you mean by that?
Used
a mind
to.
Palace? So,
yeah,
I don't know.
Well,
just like,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm just thinking about things for us to talk about. Like, what is inside your head?
I don't know,
do you have,
man.
What do you dream about?
The difficulty there is that's also saying like bare your innermost soul on a podcast in front of.
We were talking about fears
people,
the last
know.
Time.
I
hmm?
missed that.
Yeah, we were talking about our fears. Do you want to talk about your fears now?
I'm gonna ban her from the podcast. She's too quiet.
Well, spiders definitely. And I know it's not logical, but
don't go into our bathroom.
I already did.
Do you have a spider friend?
We have a couple. Actually, we might have several. I think I have babies.
Just 2 days ago, I was sleeping, and for some reason, I don't know why, I kept thinking that there were spiders crawling on me.
Aww.
And I woke up probably 10 times throughout the night, like, spiders! Oh no, spiders. And I went back to sleep. I did it like 10 times. I didn't get any sleep.
Were you on drugs, Christina? Because I think that's a common side effect of some drugs.
No,
psychotic parasitosis.
I saw a spider in my room, and I hadn't seen one in a long time. So I just, for some reason, was like, no, they're back. They're here. Spiders.
All of them.
Just because I saw one.
Yeah, and I pretty regularly will have, like, like an old house infested by spiders dream. And it's usually, like, I'm trying to get somewhere and, like, you know, the damn things keep building webs everywhere, and it's, like, really hard to try to navigate without, you know.
I did see a lot of webs that day, too.
I've never had that sort of dream.
So many webs.
A lot of times I have trouble using the bathroom in dreams.
Hmm.
Is that... Like
they're just
mechanical,
like, really
difficulty.
No, like really
like
weird bathrooms.
Oh,
like
you can't
like
find
public
you don't know
ones.
How to use the three shells?
I know, right?
Yeah.
Like public ones. Like I can't find a private place to use the bathroom, and like huge ones.
That's your brain telling you to not use it because you'll pee in the bed.
Maybe.
It's trying to stop you from doing that because it knows that you're sleeping, but you don't.
Oh.
That's what it sounds like to me. Because I had a dream like that, and then I woke up like, oh, I'm so glad that I didn't find the bathroom because I was sleeping. And that wouldn't have been good. At least that's how I rationalized it.
I don't know. Yeah, I think... Right? I guess you can't... Like, I mean, obviously you can pee the bed, but, like... isn't that, like... Your body paralyzes itself to some extent.
Yeah, I think that it's similar to the problem with, like, cycles, if you're trying to run on purpose in your dreams, like, you usually find it difficult because your body isn't responding. So, like it's an entirely ideological thing of, you know, that's why it feels like you're running in place.
Is that
like
why flying is easier in your dreams?
Like, the sensation of moving could actually be... like synthesized in your head.
It
like you're moving even though you're not.
Definitely. True. But also, like, you know, if you are trying to run for some reason, like it you're only getting half of the sensation back, and like or at least that's usually feedback. That's the experience I usually have. Yes, is like it if I'm thinking about trying to do it, it becomes very difficult because, like, you know,
rather than just doing it in your dream.
Right. And usually it's still, you know, I still get where I want to go or, you know, outrun whatever I'm trying to outrun, but it feels like it takes a tremendous amount of effort.
Bragging about how you don't...
Do you get caught in your dreams a lot?
Usually. But nothing happens, if that means anything.
As I say, no, usually, like...
Like, I do get caught, though.
Yeah, of course, I have a reptile brain, so if it turns into a fight in my dream, I always win, but...
True.
You know...
I used to date a woman who found it pathological that I always felt in control in my dreams. Like, I didn't have nightmares. I wasn't really scared. There were zombies. This was just a challenge to deal with.
Yeah. Or like, you know, being chased by a crowd. It's a lot less of like, oh, no, I'm going to get caught. It's more just like, haha, you can't catch me. And you know, it's just really hard turning this corner for some reason. Mm-hmm. I'm going to spend like 20 dream minutes trying to do that, and it's still going to work out.
And also, like, I mean, that's part of the huge difference, like, between a nightmare and a regular dream is a nightmare has the fear, the adrenaline to it, regardless of what's actually happening in the dream.
Yeah, exactly. Which I was going to say, like, and that was the thing. So, like,
you can have a nightmare that, like, nothing happens.
Somebody just stares at you and waves at you, and that's a nightmare because you feel scared.
And that was, like, why, like, I didn't, you know, for a long time I didn't think I had nightmares because I never had the fear response, but I would definitely get the adrenaline response.
Yeah.
But I think it depends on how you respond to that anyway.
I should help you have nightmares.
I mean, you are welcome to try. I don't know how you would go about that, but...
I don't know. Something with dinosaurs. I'll figure it out.
No, because, you know... Because, see, that's the thing, though. Like, you put me in a scenario with dinosaurs, and then it's just like, oh, well, then I already know what dinosaur I would be. So, it's a simple...
Would you be the king dinosaur,
a
Daniel?
Raptor?
No, probably a raptor. Because
they're pretty
you're
amazing.
Fast and
so
you know.
The king dinosaur.
Yeah,
never. Again.
So,
speaking of night terrors, I had nightmares. I had three nightmares in a row when I was little. Like, I vaguely remember them, but they were so bad. Like, I couldn't sleep for a week.
Oh.
It sucked because I, like, had three nightmares in a row the same night. Like, I woke up in terror. Went back to sleep, had another nightmare, woke my parents up again.
Poor Amber.
Yeah, and but I haven't really had any nightmares since then.
Wow.
Really?
I think I've had maybe a couple somewhat recently, but nothing too bad.
That's kind of weird, though. That
yeah, I guess I've had a couple
we
recently.
Could actually count the amount of nightmares we've had.
Yeah.
I wonder what dictates whether or not we have nightmares or not.
Oh, yeah. I always, of course, equate it to, like, things that are bothering you that you're not consciously facing, but that's kind of the easy trite answer.
I don't know. I think sometimes it might happen. Like, it might also be either a symptom of stress, or it might even be a symptom of you finally have gotten enough sleep for once, so your brain has got, like, deep enough that it, like,
that's
freaked
true.
Itself out.
Can open the gates.
I heard that people that are narcoleptic, I think that's the word, that they they get sleep paralysis on a regular basis, and it lasts for hours sometimes, where they're like fully conscious that they're awake, but they're still hallucinating and they're paralyzed, like they can't move, like they're dreaming, but they're actually awake.
That's terrifying.
So they're sitting there like motionless, kind of moaning in fear because they're having terrors and hallucinations and they're awake.
Wow.
And it's just a thing that happens.
And they can't do anything about it.
But they're narcoleptic and they just go to sleep and they can't really do anything. Because their dream cycles are all
weird.
Out of whack. It sounds horrible. I feel so bad.
Yeah.
So, I have a friend, Melissa, who we've tried to get on this podcast, but she's having mental health issues. So she's yet to actually be on the podcast, so I will tell the story. And if in the future she tells the story, she will tell it better. But I'd rather have the story out there than not out there. So Melissa was a garbage head as a teenager. That is the title they gave her in rehab when they asked, well, what is your drug of choice? And she said, what do you have? Among the things she did was Whippets, or nitrous oxide, which is a propellant in Glade. And nitrous oxide, for anyone who's ever had teeth removed while being gassed, sort of knocks you out. Like, you're unconscious, but you're still in the world. It's a weird, like, half-dream, half-waking state. She's driven on nitrous oxide, which she said was a great deal like a video game. And she wasn't worried about crashing because the car would just flip back onto the road because she still had an extra life. I didn't have the privilege of driving with her on this. Her biggest nitrous oxide story was the night her car exploded. So she was sitting there hotboxing her car with Glade. Listeners, do not use Glade in a way that is not approved of by the Glade Corporation. I think that's S.E. Johnson Wax. I'm not sure. But don't do it. Just,
close.
You know, lawyers, Parker, we don't want people to do it. So she's sitting in her car and skulls are flying at the windshield saying, get out of the car. And she's very clear that Glade hallucinations never lie to you. Because I guess it is your mind. Like, for a while she had a persistent hallucination of a little girl who would tell her things, basically tell her she was being stupid. And at one point when she was hallucinating on Glade, the little girl came up to her stomach, touched and said, I'll see you in about 9 months. Shortly thereafter, Melissa miscarried. So anyway, the little girl was telling her, get out of the car. Just get out of the car. Melissa was not listening. She was there with three of her friends, and she's like, you know what? I'm going to smoke a cigarette. So it's important to know that nitrous oxide is incredibly flammable. So she flicks the lighter once, and nothing happens. So she looks at the window, she looks at the cigarette, she's like, light the cigarette, open the window. She flicks it again, and the entire car fills with fire. Now, she doesn't actually know that this is real. She thinks it's a hallucination, and she doesn't want to seem like a wuss in front of her friends. So she sits there quietly for a second until she realizes they are screaming because her three friends are on fire.
Wow.
Like, hair burning off. I think one lost an ear. And so finally, she decides to scream, which is good because had she inhaled, she would have inhaled fire and died. I saw a picture of her car because the door is also fused shut. And the top opened up like Jiffy Pop. And one of her friends, having some sort of magic strength, like pulled her door open, like just wrenched it open. I think he tore some muscles in there.
Ooh.
Yeah. But he got her out of the car, and then the four of them walked to their friend's house because they had parked it in the middle of a field. And they said, and they, you know, rang the doorbell and said, we were on fire. And the friend's mother did something that was incredibly sweet and really dangerous and threw wet blankets over them, which isn't what you're supposed to do. So then they were brought to the emergency room, where once the nurses heard what they did, is like, no, you can sit, you can wait. What I guess is important to know is that if you have a third degree burn, it keeps burning until they put this salve on it. So she was sitting there in the emergency room still burning, and I saw her a couple weeks after, and she smelled like McDonald's French fries, which makes you wonder what they put in there. Aww. She's like, yeah, I smell like it all the time. I really want McDonald's.
Aww.
So.
Creepy.
Yeah. So that is my sleep drug story, which is to say it is Melissa's sleep drug story, which I have heard enough. Incidentally, she was a minor when this happened, and the Poughkeepsie Journal used her name, saying, like, this had happened. She was charged with no crime, so really shouldn't have been using a minor's name in association with did drugs and blew up. And for a while, like, people would tell her this story, like, yeah, I heard about these four kids. She's like, yes, I know. I was there. I was the one driving. Another interesting thing is I saw artifacts from the car, and some things were, like, burned to cinders, like glass was melted, and then there were some, like, McDonald's toys that were fine, that the fire did not touch.
Fire can be oddly selective.
It really was. Like, one of her friends, I really do think, like, burned, like, his ear melted off. They had to have, like, skin grafts. She has, like, one burn on one of her legs, and she had to get a haircut.
Wow.
So she was pretty much okay.
What are you supposed to do if a burn victim comes to you?
I guess just get them to the hospital. But putting a wet blanket on them hurt and was not helpful.
No. Yeah, because it would probably, like, if you took it off, take skin with it.
Actively on fire, maybe. But
yeah, stop, drop, and roll. Maybe wet blanket there. But otherwise, no, you probably shouldn't be putting wet blankets on burn victims.
No, I mean, like, I could imagine maybe cutting their clothes off, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it depends how badly burned they are.
Go on.
That's another interesting thing, is, like, how often we're worried about nudity and stuff sometimes. But as soon as it's, like, an emergency situation, sometimes that goes right out the window.
Non-sexual nudity for me definitely involves, you know, you're bleeding to death. Yeah. And your clothes are not helping.
No. There's definitely other non-sexual nudity. Absolutely. Than that, though.
But that is, like, without question. No, I'm not, like, no, really, really. You clearly don't need to be wearing clothes right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's sort of, I may have talked about this in a previous podcast. Not nudity, per se. But I was getting my blood drawn, and I hadn't eaten breakfast. I was stupid. So the nurses were going to move me, because I guess I wasn't bleeding sufficiently. And I passed out. And I woke up to one rubbing my chest, and she's like, I have to do this. You know, don't be worried. I'm like, I just passed out. I'm on your floor. You can do whatever you want, and I'm going to think it's therapeutic.
Yeah.
Like, you need to press my sternum. You do that.
It is odd, like, when people have to do things like that. Like,
I've never passed out before.
Oh. If you set up the metal detector at the airport or something, and they wand you, and they have to, like, pat you down wherever it goes off, maybe, and they have to be like, I have to touch you here because of this thing. You know, I'm not groping you.
Well, although, you know, being told you're not being groped doesn't change that you're being groped.
Yeah.
That's true. You know. It just makes it slightly more official.
Well, yes. No, yeah. So remember, if you're going to grope somebody, make sure you're wearing an official-looking uniform.
True.
And tell them it's going to happen first.
See my badge? I'm going to grope all of you when it's completely official.
Yes. I'm the official titty checker.
I have to move my hand up until it meets resistance. By resistance, I mean, you know, whatever you got up there.
So you haven't passed out, Christina?
No.
Have you even come close?
I don't think so.
I don't recommend it. It's oddly warm, actually. I remember that. Like, it was like suddenly being pushed into sleep and then pulled out again. I'm sure I wasn't down on the ground very long. I just remember being like, I felt like I was enveloped in a blanket.
Aww.
So it was very cozy. And then there were a bunch of women around me rubbing me.
I've never passed out, but I've gotten close to passing out a couple times. Like, the whole, like, tunnel vision thing. And, like, fairly recently, I was at the farm, and I was, like, I don't know, I was just having, like, heat exhaustion, I guess.
Well, are you sure you weren't passed any drinks, or, you know?
No, it's just I needed drinks. I needed water. It was at the farm, and, yeah, like, I just, like, couldn't handle this wheelbarrow. To be fair, I do hate wheelbarrows. It's a personal preference. Yeah, because it's easy to get them off balance, and okay. I feel like they aren't made for my proportions.
Yeah, probably not. No.
Like, I feel like I need a kid wheelbarrow.
That's what I was about to say.
Yeah, I think I need to get a children's wheelbarrow, and then maybe I'll feel differently about wheelbarrows.
I think you should.
So, Daniel, do you have any passing out stories?
I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm tall enough that sometimes if I stand up too fast, I get mildly dizzy. And
by tall enough, you mean?
Well, which, you know, is funny because I'm not that tall. but no, like, yeah, so, you know, that sometimes. I know I've had heat exhaustion a few times because, like, once when I was probably around 4 or so, my dad thought it would be a good idea to let me go into the jacuzzi in Arizona when it was 106 out or something.
And I almost did that.
Yeah, so, you know, there's that. Like, actually, that and the only other time I can remember, like, actively passing out was also in, like, in a shower under similar circumstances where the water was just probably too hot.
Once I made myself a special bath. Like, it was when I was doing some prepping for our wedding. Do you remember this? Like,
I don't believe so.
I made it too hot. And I was sitting and waiting for it to cool down. And I kept, like, waiting and then testing it. And it wasn't cool enough. And, like, I gave up and was like, I'm going in the water. And it was still way too hot. And I felt so sick. I wasn't able to, like, enjoy it the way I was hoping to.
Yeah.
It really sucked. I'd, like, lie down in my bed, like, bright pink because it was so hot. I was like, no, I'm gonna take this damn bath. So don't make your bathtub too hot.
Stubborn Amber.
I'm so stubborn.
Yeah.
I would have been like, too hot, and I would have been like, I give up, you win.
I end up in completely different towns rather than turning around when I get lost.
Really?
Yeah, that happened.
See, I gave up on doing that.
I did actually pass out at I used to work at a video store in Tucson, and I worked the night shift entirely, but they tried to make me work the day shift for a thing, and basically, like, the whole place is like a giant glass box, and yeah, like, I made it about 2 hours into the shift, and it's like, wow. Nope, can't deal with it, and then they let me go home, and then they never made me work day shifts again, which was good, because I didn't wanna.
Yeah.
See, speaking it worked of my, out good.
My stubbornness story. Remember that time, Tom, when we had to drive, when I was driving my car to the CARSTAR Auto Body or Charlotte, wherever it is, in Catskill. So I was going straight there, and then Tom was going to pick me up from there. Tom was leaving work, like, later, and then he was going to pick me up. Tom got there before I did. I was in, like, a completely different town. On a mountain somewhere. Because I missed one turn. And I refused to turn around. Because I knew there had to have been a way back. There must have been a crossover road. There was no crossover road. I've ended up in some weird places with my...
You admit it, that means you were wrong.
My inability to admit that I'm going the wrong direction.
Oh, no.
Now, have you taken steps to address this deficiency, or... No. Or do you revel in it?
I revel in it.
Yes.
I know what direction it's supposed to be in. It's not my fault there aren't roads going the way I think they should be.
She also won't let me buy her own separate GPS. Mm. I'm willing.
Maybe
she won't let me.
My phone is supposed to have a GPS. It just doesn't work.
No. Your phone is too old now.
We'll get me a new phone eventually.
Okay.
Listeners,
send
if
us
you can
a
send
GPS.
Me a free phone, it needs to be Verizon, like some swag company that has cell phones. I shall talk you up.
That's right. But see,
or if you're someone who has an app that you want me to talk up, send me a phone that can run that app. Specifically, you Etsy card reader.
But what if it's just an app that's designed to, like, take pictures of you?
That recently, like, happened. A ransomware.
Yeah. Right, oh, yeah, yeah. It was a porn app that was taking pictures of you while you were masturbating and then threatening to disperse them.
Little do they know that I want to take pictures of myself while masturbating.
And disperse them.
And disperse them.
That's the best part.
That couldn't have been done better for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you know, if I ever had paranoid thoughts about that, that would usually be my thought is like, well, I mean, if that's actually what you want to see, you know, good for you.
And apparently there is also a calculator app that is actually like a secret photo holder. Like, if you type certain numbers in the calculator, it'll show you, you know, it's like a password locked
so like,
phone.
So like if you type in, you know, 4004 and then turn it upside down, it'll show you pictures of boobies.
Exactly. Except that it might be an actual picture of boobies.
Yeah, that's true.
Adolescent boobies. Because I assume most people who are taking pictures of themselves naked are teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
That may not be true.
Well, it isn't just nudity. It might be anything that you don't want random people who get your phone on to be able to see.
It's going
to
be nudity, Amber. I'm going to let you know.
It might not be nudity. It might just be pictures of your cat. I don't know.
No, it's going to be pictures of my pussy.
Phone, yeah.
That was no, obvious. Christina, that was too easy.
You do it so people don't know how much you love your cat. You're fine with people knowing how much you love your cat.
Exactly.
All you horrible people out there who hide how much you love your cat, let it out. Everyone knows you love your cat, and they're okay with it.
I'm sure you've seen the classic internet photo of... it's a really nice picture of a cat, and there's a TV behind the cat. And in the reflection, like, you can clearly see the guy has no pants on. And it's the sort of thing where, like, it was not intentional, because, like, it's a really well-composed shot of the cat.
Yeah. But, you know. Like, how much does he not have pants on? Like, does he not have underwear on? Is
yeah,
he
no,
bottomless?
He's wearing a shirt, and then nothing. Like, yes.
He's Donald Ducking it.
Okay. Yes, which, as I can tell you, is a state of undress that happens when you come home sometimes, and you know,
yeah,
like, it's slightly easier to take your pants off than it is to take your shirt off, so, like, the shirt doesn't usually come off sometimes until...
Well, pants are
that.
Also more uncomfortable than shirts.
It's true.
Unless you have a bra on.
Where problems arise is when you're just like, you know, like, oh, I really gotta get a picture of my cat. I just...
Yeah, she's so gorgeous over there.
I know. I can take my shirt off later or change into something else later, but I really gotta get... Yeah.
Yep. The cat's only cute for 23 hours out of the day, so...
And they'll only be cute in that particular situation for, like, 10 more seconds. So.
That's true. You can't pose cats. They just
and
do
to be
what
fair,
want.
The cat might be bothered by you putting pants on.
That's true. You're taking away its favorite toy.
Oh, God.
I knew a girl in high school who insisted that she had poured milk on herself and got the cat to lick it off. I don't think this is something that really happened, because I don't want to think that is something that really happened.
Yeah, kitties have, like the raspy tongue thing.
Yeah, I've seen
tiny
it.
Fish hooks.
Maybe exactly. That's her thing.
It might have been.
I don't know. It's hard enough to deal with, like, my cat licking my hand. I can't imagine something that's actually, like...
It's her fetish. I don't know.
Well, did Maybe. She graduate to, like, wrapping some sandpaper around a stripper pole or...
Oh, okay.
I don't know if any of you have had the experience where you've taken salacious photos of a loved one, and then that relationship ends. Maybe we've discussed this privately. I don't know if we've discussed it on the podcast.
Yeah, I don't think we've discussed that specifically on the podcast, but it would be a good topic.
I deleted one girlfriend, salacious, of which I had two or three, but I did not delete the other girlfriend, and I'm sort of ambivalent about it. It's like, well, you know, that represents a time in my life. I obviously keep that segregated and separated and locked in a box, you know, all that. But my instinct is not to destroy them.
Well, so, like I don't necessarily think I can tell you what to do with them from your perspective.
What would you
but
do?
I do think it's one of those things where, like, it's if you can't guarantee that they'll never get out, or I don't know, I guess just in general, like, the hardest thing about relationships that are no longer current is the letting go part, and I think that that's, like, of absolute importance, because, like, you know, the relationship I had with you know, Melanie the Canadian, not your Melanie, the different one,
hey,
but yeah, no, like, that was definitely one of those cases of, like, I could not bring myself to let go, and eventually, like, it got to a point where, you know, I had one person that I knew in Canada through her still on my Facebook friend feed, only because, you know, periodically I would see things going on with her, and, like, she eventually cut me off, and it was one of those simultaneous things of, like, oh no, I've lost any thread, but also, like, oh god, I should have done this, like, you know, months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I from that perspective, I think it's probably healthier to, I guess it all comes down to, like, that's a thing of vulnerability for the other person, and I don't know. My instinct would probably be to destroy them, just because there's even the tiniest possibility of, you know, if they get lost and somebody else finds them or anything like that. Also, it's kind of probably speaking to a moment that's gone now. So I don't know. It matters entirely. But, you know, that's for me, I would probably find them personally too painful to remember, because, you know, it's remembering a thing that I do not have that's also, like, was very important at the time. And then the element of, you know, what does it mean to the other person? Like, you know, because that element no longer exists for them either. And even though they may never know that, you know, I still have this artifact of their vulnerability, I don't know. That would kind of be my reasoning there.
I believe at some point I ran past her. I'm like, so... He's like, yeah, I don't care. You're good for it. And I'm like, all right.
You know, which would be the other thing. Is like, yeah, if you're in a situation where you can actually ask about it, obviously that would be the best.
Whereas the other person where I had a couple of photos, I got the feeling that she'd rather those not exist. And I'm like, yeah, no problem.
Which is the other thing, too. Of like ladies, of course, you cannot trust, you know, if you let somebody take pictures of you, you have to assume that they're going to show up somewhere. Which isn't to say that you should be okay with it. Be very, if you're worried it in the tiniest bit was, you know, damage to your relationship, maybe don't let that happen. Although not that you should be, you know, have to worry about being punished for that.
But, no victim blaming.
I do remember, right. I don't remember who this was, but I do remember hearing a story where this guy was like famous for his erotic photos, and he asked his girlfriend, oh, can I take pictures of you? She's like, oh, sure. And he took him, and she's like, give me the roll of film. These do not get developed unless you marry me. I'll be keeping this. Nice. And I thought that was a key. I think he did marry her, too. But I thought that was a key way of doing it.
Yeah.
And, like, he goaded her. Well, he didn't goad her, but he's like, I'd really love to do that. You're gorgeous. This would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We'd make so much money off of
him. No. he did want it to be a private thing, but she also was like, I've seen your work, so I know what you do.
Yeah.
And obviously a lot of the erotic photos, I think, were of previous lovers.
Mm.
Who were fine with him disseminating them.
Yeah, but I mean, that's always the thing, is like the consent element, because it's exactly the same as, you know, I don't know, any other like inappropriate sexual contact. If it's not consensual, then, which is why it's probably a good thing that, you know, they're starting to finally crack down on the revenge for porn thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm all about that. Because I want women to feel safe with me taking pictures of them naked from the bushes. Okay, I'll do my final.
Or the window, you know.
Or the window, I'm not a freak.
So, disturbing stories. That's not even a story. You know Moral Oral, right? When that came out?
Yes.
So, there was an episode that the mother, I guess, was getting sex toys or something.
Yeah.
But they are literally drills.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah,
like,
that.
I find that, like, seriously disturbing. I don't know why, but that disturbs me way more than it should.
Actually, I believe they sell a drill bit that's essentially just like a dildo on.
They
on
do.
A drill
yeah,
bit,
so that would be acceptable. But no, it was literally a drill.
I guess she liked mutilating herself.
I
she
guess.
Had, like, a mental problem.
It's just so painful.
They were good Christians, right? So,
yes.
Yeah.
Like she
but
had,
still,
like,
I don't know.
Gotta flagellate while you masturbate.
It just deeply disturbs me.
Well, that was...
It was disturbing.
Yeah, as I say, that's the point of that
Moral
show.
Oral.
But
I like... But out of the entire show, I think that is what I found most disturbing.
Not the soul-crushing final episode.
I'm not sure
if I've
seen
one.
It. I'm not sure how much I've seen.
I don't think there's more than two seasons, if that, but...
I just watched it, you know, like randomly on Adult Swim.
I have it if you would like to revisit it.
Well, I don't know if I've
maybe.
Seen that either.
But it's definitely in the category of like too sad to watch on purpose more than once.
Yeah.
Aww. Is it similar to, like, the concepts reminds me of Binding of Isaac.
I believe Moral Oral might be Dino Stamatopoulos, who's a friend of Dan Harmon's, and like is part of that whole circle of, you know,
makes
him
sense.
And Justin Roiland. And
that would be Starburns, wouldn't it?
Yes.
That's amazing. I hope that's accurate.
Yeah, I know, it's another one of those details. It's like, I'm probably going to go check that later and then find out that I met somebody else.
If it's true, I'm going to put it in the show notes.
If it's not true, we're going to tell you it's true anyways.
Yes, we'll make a fake web page.
We'll make it.
We'll edit the Wikipedia.
We will.
Hmm. Dan Harmon had a like the last episode of Harmontown. They were talking about like the history of autism and Asperger's syndrome, mm-hmm. which is actually like super fascinating. So it turns out Asperger was a dude, and mm-hmm. like I don't know. There's a whole like involved history of, you know, suppression and weirdness surrounding the topic, but as a result mm-hmm. of that episode, there you can go to neurotitties.com and it redirects to Harmontown because that was a thing.
Amazing.
That is great. Final thoughts, Amber.
Daniel should feel better, and so should the world.
But don't
I second that.
Yeah, don't like, you know, bet on that because, you know.
Down with capitalism. I've got issues. We need the antibiotics to get rid of the cold that is capitalism. That so reaches inside your soul and fills up your sinuses.
You're anti-capitalist yes. and antibiotic? I'm probiotic, Amber. How can we be married? Christina, final thoughts.
Should I eat you if you're... Will you help with my digestion?
I don't want to hear my final thoughts.
No, we want to know, Christina. Don't...
Yeah, you can't...
Don't hold it in. Let it out.
When you say that, what you're saying is like, I would like to tell you my final thoughts, but I want to tease you a little bit.
No, that means I don't have any thoughts.
Or her final thoughts are about toy dinosaurs.
It is.
What about bondage octopus?
Is that what that was?
Or yes, Amber's so thought that was. Daniel, final thoughts.
That's right.
Yeah, man. Like, it's all it is, you know? And then the void.
My final thoughts.
Void.
That Dr. Pepper that's sitting over there.
It's empty.
It's yeah. just been bugging me all night. I don't even know why.
Yeah. Do you want a full one?
No, it's sitting there. Like, it's like product placement.
Our podcast has visual product placement.
Nobody also, else we are all naked right now. Well, we're just not wearing pants.
Yeah.
None of us ever wear pants.
I'm not wearing pants.
Peptastic.
It's true, and we're taking a lot of pictures of our cats.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, you know.
Yeah, okay. I do periodically have to like go through pictures of my cat that I've taken to make sure that, like, you know, because a lot of times I will wake up and, you know, or have just gotten out of the shower and be like, you know, oh look, the cat's doing something interesting.
Okay. So you have to check for naked Daniel.
Just to make sure.
Okay. Tom, final thoughts.
I think it's better when we have topics.
That's just because you were boring.
No, I was not boring. I just have to edit this.
Yeah, I guess I think it depends on like the nature of conversation. Mm-hmm. Like if conversation isn't kind of naturally occurring. Like, topics can help to get that started, definitely, but, you know...
Like, yeah, I like diverging from a topic rather than being nebulous and hoping a topic appears.
Well, being nebulous isn't that bad.
Hey, I gave us several topics that we talked on for a few minutes each.
And I don't think being nebulous is a problem, necessarily, but, like, being nebulous and then trying to force topics would be a problem.
Okay. Amber, say goodbye.
No!
Okay.
Goodbye!